2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here's something you don't hear a lot of people saying, this next line. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Back in the 18th century, there was a young boy's mother died when he was 6 years old. He decided to leave his home and follow his father to the sea. When he got out in the world, he didn't take long to start fitting in with the world. He became rebellious and hateful. Done a lot of things I'm sure he was ashamed of, and a lot of fighting, a lot of rebellion in his late teenage years. He got a job on a ship to transport slaves from England over into the New World. He was an evil man, an infidel, so to speak. And just as Paul had a life-changing experience on the road to Damascus, that's exactly what happened in this young man's life. When he was 23 years old, he was out on a ship and a hurricane came up. And there he was, out in the middle of this storm, and he saw people around him going overboard, people dying right in front of his eyes. And the only thing he knew to do, he was scared for his life. He'd always been on the boat. He'd been in some storms before, but this one scared him half to death. And he remembered his mother. He remembered what his mom did in times of trouble. She prayed. And so right there in the middle of the storm, he began to pray and ask the Lord into his heart and change his life. And he did exactly what the Lord did. And not only did he save his life that day, but he saved everybody on that boat. And the storm calmed as soon as he gave his heart to the Lord. That was a miraculous event. And not only was it miraculous that the storm stopped, but all the sailors and the slaves on this boat were amazed to think that this young man was thanking God for getting him out of trouble. And so there it was. He changed his life, began a new life, began to go to church, and a short decade later, in between all this, he got to follow a man by the name of Charles Wesley. And then he became a pastor just a short decade later when he was 33 years old in England. There he was in his congregation. Then one morning before he went to church, he wanted to share with his congregation about his conversion experience in the best way he knew how. So he sat down to his desk and he wrote some words down and he took it to his congregation. And he got up that morning and preached about the grace of God. And he laid down the words, and he began to read the words, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And His grace has brought me safe thus far. And His grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Yes, John Newton wrote about the grace that he found on that ship one day. And thank God it is amazing grace. That's what we're preaching about this morning, if you haven't guessed. The amazing grace of God. Amen. And it is amazing, isn't it? That word amazing means to fill with surprise or wonder. The word grace, defined by Webster's dictionary, is divine love and protection bestowed freely upon mankind. And it's an amazing grace. In chapter 12 here in 2 Corinthians, Paul's ministry was in question. He begins to open up his heart with a letter to the church of Corinth. And he writes about a lot of the perils in chapter 11, but then in chapter 12 he writes about the provision of God's grace. And we find in the text that I read to you this morning that he was given a thorn in the flesh. A lot of people speculate what this thorn might have been. A lot of people might have thought it was blindness or epilepsy or arthritis. I kind of feel like it might have been blindness. But anyway, we really don't know exactly what his thorn might have been. But we do know that it hurt Paul. We do know that it hindered him from the ministry of God. And so he prayed the Lord three times that the Lord would remove it. And God said there, Paul, he said, I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to give you an added ingredient called grace. Amen. And thank God sometimes that's why God chooses not to heal people. Because He don't, sometimes He wants us to stay humble. And that's why I've got a thorn on my side this morning. I've got an insulin pump that's hooked to me 24/7. And that's a thorn in my flesh. It hinders me because my health is going to decay in years. Even though I went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago that got the best report I've ever gotten in the whole 14 years I've had diabetes. He said, my weight's not perfect, but none of yours is either. So we'll just go on. It's His fault. But I've prayed that the Lord would remove this diabetes from my life. God said, I'm not going to remove it, Brian. But I'm going to give you an added ingredient called grace. And He has given me grace. He has given me grace. And it is an amazing grace. I want to center in why it is an amazing grace. First of all, it's amazing because of its author. He said in verse 9, my grace. My grace. He wanted Paul to understand that this grace that was given to him could only come from God Himself. He did not need the grace of his friends. He needed God's grace, didn't he? And many people today search to fill that void in their life, that emptiness in their life. And you know what? The only thing that will fit that piece of that puzzle is the grace of God. My wife's here with me today. I'm so glad she's here, my daughter. And she has a wonderful job there. She works in Hillsboro, and Her boss's family actually owns all the KFCs around here, Bagshaw Enterprises. That's his in-laws. And so they're very wealthy people. And he's very young, probably in his mid-30s, maybe late 30s. And his children already have multi-millions of dollars set up for them, waiting on them. But yet Heather said he's the most miserable man in this world. Because he's always searching to try and feel that void in his life. And you know what? The only thing that can help Chris Walker this morning is the grace of God. The grace of God. My Uncle Aaron, a lot of you know the story about backslidden. He was a preacher. Became an alcoholic. His life's going to waste. He looks like he's about 60 years old and he's only in his mid-40s. Has a defibrillator. Only about 10% of his heart's working. Now his defibrillator stopped working. He's going to have a new one in this Thursday. He searched all of his life to try to fill that void with drinking, with drugs. But nothing has filled it. And he knows the only thing that can fill it. He just don't want to accept it. It's the grace of God. And this morning you can search high and low. Listen to me. You can search high and low trying to fill that void in your life. But the only thing that can do that, it comes from Him. That's His amazing grace. Hallelujah. You know why He can give you this grace? You know why He's the author? Because Jesus is the only one that is God and is man. So He can feel exactly what you are feeling, but yet give you the grace to make you through what you're feeling. Ain't that wonderful? And He's the only one on this earth that can do that. And you know what? Sometimes God goes out of His way to make sure that you know that the grace that He gives comes from Him. There was a man that was going to go on a fishing trip on the weekend. He was getting ready to go with his friends that has had a busy week at work, and he was wanting to take a trip away. And on the Friday before he was going to leave, he got a cut in his foot. And the blue dye from his socks got into that cut and it infected his foot. And so he became ill and he couldn't go on his fishing trip with his buddies. Back then, at this time, they didn't have a lot of antibiotics. And so here he is at home. He wanted to go fishing. He couldn't go. What was he going to do? Well, he knew there in his community there was a revival going on. So he thought, well, I'll just go to church just to pass the time. A lot of people decide to do that, don't they? Come in and get saved. It's exactly what happened to this man. He came into church, heard the preacher preach about amazing grace, and he came down an altar and gave his heart to the Lord. Changed his life forever. You know who that man was? It was James Garfield, our 20th president. See, only God can let blue socks cause you to get saved. That's exactly what happened to James Garfield. And God goes out of His way to make sure you know that it comes from Him. It's amazing because of its author. And it's amazing because of its abundance. He says, my grace is sufficient. James 4:6 tells us that He giveth more grace. That word sufficient actually means more than enough. Aren't you glad for that? That's why God's grace is so amazing. Yes, it's from Him, but He gives you more than enough. This is a familiar illustration. A lot of you have heard it, but I'll go ahead and tell it again. It's a good one. family lived in a depression area, and of course times were scarce, and they had a big tall glass that they would drink milk at dinner time. And they would draw lines around that glass, and they would fill up that glass all the way to the top, and they would pass along to each one of their family, and they could only drink down to that next line. And so one of their daughters got sick, and she had to go to the hospital. And when she was in there in the hospital, they brought her food, and they brought her a big piece of cake, and they brought her, you know, a nice big meal for her. They set a big tall glass on a tray and filled it up with milk, and that little girl looked up at the nurse and said, "Where's the lines?" And the nurse said, "What are you talking about, honey?" She said, "Well, in my house, I can only drink down to the next line because we don't have very much. And so I can only drink down to the next line. Then I got to pass it on to my brother, and they pass it on until the milk's all gone. That's all we can have for the entire day." The nurse looked at her with tear-filled eyes and said, "Oh, honey, don't worry about that." She said, "You drink as much as you want. And if you drink all that, there's plenty more where that came from." That's the way God's grace is this morning. You might think you're going to exhaust the grace of God, but just go ahead and drink and drink and drink and drink. And when you think you've drunk enough, He's got more grace to give you. Amen. It's more than enough. It was more than enough for Abraham when grace caught a ram in the thicket and gave a sacrifice instead of his son. It was more than enough for David when he picked up that stone and he threw it and killed that and just struck that Goliath down and cut his head off. It was more than enough for Elijah when he was there on the mountain and he prayed down the fire to suck up the sacrifice. Thank God it was more than enough. Hallelujah. And it'll be more than enough for you this morning. Just trust in Him and His amazing grace. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's amazing because of its author and its abundance. And it's amazing because of its applicant. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And right there, I just like to take those words out and put my name in there. In fact, let's just do that this morning. I want you to say, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And instead of saying "for thee," I want you to put your name in there. Because this is personal. Okay, let's do it on three. One, two, three. "My grace is sufficient for Brian Bear." Ain't that great to know that He means you? And it will be more than enough for you. No matter what your need is this morning. 1 Peter 5:10 said He's the God of all grace. No matter what type of need, He has the grace for that need. Because God's grace is assuring grace. It's abounding grace. It's believing grace. It's beautiful grace. It's comforting grace. It's cleansing grace. It's delivering grace. It's dying grace. It's eternal grace. It's encouraging grace. It's forgiving grace. It's far-reaching grace. It's guiding grace. It's guarding grace. It's humbling grace. It's helping grace. It's infinite grace. It's impartial grace. It's justifying grace. It's joyful grace. It's keeping grace. It's loving grace. It's leading grace. It's matchless grace. It's miraculous grace. It's new grace. It's never-ending grace. It's overcoming grace. It's overwhelming grace. Woo! It's protective grace. It's providing grace. It's quickening grace. It's redeeming grace. It's righteous grace. It's sustaining grace. It's supernatural grace. It's timely grace. It's true grace. It's understanding grace. Undeserving grace. It's victorious grace. It's wonderful grace. It's word you cannot explain grace. It's exciting. There's no words for X. It's exciting grace. It's yearning grace. It's yielding grace. And hallelujah, it's zealous grace. Thank God. No matter what your need this morning, from A to Z, He's got the grace for you. Hallelujah. Thank God. And it'll be there when you need it. My great-grandpa Brown, he was always worried he didn't have dying grace. And they'd tell him, "Because you haven't studied. You're not on your deathbed yet." And then when he had a heart attack and he almost died, he came back to church and said, "Now I know what dying grace is. God gave it to me when I needed it." We were privileged, Cal Ray and I. He had a revival up at Waverly. And we was with Harold Patrick the last service he was in. I had to fill in for him that week because he was very ill. And they had him come up and sing a song. And as far as I know, unless he sang somewhere else, this was the last song he ever sang on this earth. He got down to the piano as only Harold could. Even though he was so ill, he could still make that thing sing, I'm telling you. He got down to the chorus and he began to sing, "Grace not yet discovered. Grace, not yet uncovered. Grace, from the bountiful store. Grace, to cross that river. Grace, to face forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before. The last song he sang on this earth about new grace. And I went to the hospital and seen him and the night that he died. And of course, he was unresponsive. I sat there with him about a half hour, 45 minutes. Harold was special to me. He was like a grandpa, a dad. And he was there and I began to cry. And I leaned over and kissed him on the forehead. And I said, Harold, go ahead and get that new grace you're talking about. You've worked long enough. You've labored long enough. Now it's time to go and experience that grace you were singing about. That night he went on to be with the Lord. Like my Uncle Gary said at his funeral, he's probably playing a grand piano about a mile long right now. But see, when you get down to the end of the road, there's only going to be one thing that matters. And that's if you have grace. Grace, when you boil it down, really just simply means God's riches at Christ's expense. He died on an old rugged cross on that small, lonely hill, and He gave us grace. I can't explain it, but I think John Newton did about the best, didn't he? When he called it amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton was an evil, wicked man. And God's grace reached down to where he was. And no matter how low in sin you may be this morning, God's grace can reach as low as you are and pull you out. And no matter what your need physically, spiritually, God has the need, and it's grace. Would you stand this morning all over the sanctuary?